Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban to the listeners of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, to this edition of the Coffee Express. On this day, the 3rd of Rabi'ul Awwal, 1446, corresponding with the Gregorian date, the 7th of September, 2024, Alhamdulillah, we were discussing the attitude of the Yahud towards divine teachings. And if that's the attitude that they have towards divine teachings, then this UN resolutions and whatever other Oslo Accord and things means nothing to them. We will now, inshallah, be crossing over to Brother Ahmad Parak for our segment on Straight Talk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Parak.
Radio listeners, alhamdulillah, walana Allah has blessed us with another Saturday, fine Saturday morning, alhamdulillah. We must make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us another day. That's very, very important, Mawlana.
Brother Ahmad Parak, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Let us begin with any issues related to our kafan and dafan segment.
Alhamdulillah, everything at the moment is quiet. There was one issue that we still fighting with the Department of Health, that is of the release of our bodies from the kafan mortuaries, that we're still looking into it. And there is a problem that we're not getting our bodies in time, because sometimes it's taking a day and a half because of inadequate paperwork and all paperwork. So I'm taking this matter up because, you know, we have got a standing rule that anybody is coming in the morning, like 7 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon, they have to do the postmortem. So, you know, this is a problem. I had one or two of our burial societies has called me. They say it's becoming a little bit very strange, a little bit disturbing that we cannot get our bodies on time like what we used to get. So this is one of the things that, but now the government has also changed some of the acts in terms of when they're doing a postmortem, they want to see the investigating officer present at the postmortem, because what is happening is a lot of cases are going into high court, magistrate court or regional court, and they're getting thrown out because inadequate statement or inadequate information that the investigator has taken the notes. So that is the problem at the court level. So this is an issue that we're looking at it. So, you know, because we cannot wait 3-4 hours before the investigator comes to the more, then only the doctor is allowed to do the postmortem, because that is one of the rules now. And this we were not aware of. Now they have started to implement this year because of the Justice Department is putting a lot of pressure on the government mortuaries to say that, you know what, we cannot go ahead with the postmortem because now this the Justice Department is asking for more information in terms of they have to bring the investigating officer for the postmortem.
Now, Brother Ahmad Parak, you know, regarding our janazas, there are procedures to be followed by those who are present at the time of the janaza. And being a person who also was practically involved in ghusl and, you know, witnessed the departure of souls from the body, can you just give some advice on how people should conduct themselves at that moment?
Maulana, first and foremost is our own hospitals, the private hospital, if you take Ahmad Al-Qadi Hospital or Shifa Hospital, and even some of the other private hospitals, Parkland, or you go to St. Augustine, you know, and they, most of them are our own doctors. Now, whenever a person, and you know, obviously the doctor knows best because the surgeon knows best, you know, what is happening, whether the person is in his last stages because the kidneys are not functioning, the lungs are not functioning, he is having problem with breathing, and it's just a matter of time, only Allah knows best. And they more or less, the doctors know that, you know, he's in his way out now. So normally, it's best for the family, normally the doctor always notify the family to say, you know what, Papa is not doing too well, I suggest that you come away. So when they go there, they need to be there. Obviously, they can't take, you know what happens in most families, as soon as that message goes that so-and-so is not well at all, and the doctor has said that, you know, you'll better come away to the hospital, they don't go one, they go about 30 of them, 20 of them. Now, you know, in the hospital, we don't have facility for in one ward for so many people and all that. So that's why you need to be guarded in terms of you only take the immediate family. You take the obviously, if he's a male and the wife, you can take the wife and take the immediate family. If he's got brother, sister, take them there. And then what they do is pull the curtain. And the very most important thing, start reading Yasin, start reading and you know, start reading. They at the ward, they will allow that to you because they know that this is our Muslim customs. And if you go to St. Augustine or Parklands or any one of these hospitals, they will allow them. They'll draw the curtain and you go and start reading nasty and make it easy as possible for the deceased. And then there's obviously Allah knows best when the ruh is taken. Then when the ruh is taken, close the eyes, put the 2 feet together and tie the 2 feet and take the hand and put it under your water so that, you know, the hand stays flat still so the hand doesn't bend or anything like that. These are the things that we have. But in most cases, some of the family members don't want to come there because, you know, they can't see because they're not used to it and all that, you know. So that it happens. They're saying, no, we wait outside, and they'll send some other family members to go and read and all that. So this is a issue that we have the immediate family, like if he's a brother too, he doesn't want to come because he doesn't want to see that his brother is going to be departing from this dunya, you see. So this is one of the things that it happens time and again, that, you know, are scared to see, some of the children are scared to see things like this and all the college.
I remember on one occasion I was asked to go and oversee the ghusl of a brother. And I told his son, you also come with us. And the son told me, you know, I don't want to remember my father in that state, you know, after his death, the way he appeared. I want to remember him as a living person. So you get family people that, you know, entertain such thoughts. Now, coming back to our latest political developments here in Durban. One of the issues that have come up during the week is shack lords. You know, shack lords that are invading and taking over private properties and government properties. And we had that, there's one case that is in Isipingo that about land that belongs to the Aku family. We tried to get Brother Nizam Aku online because his family, owns that land. Now, there is mention of this land belonging to the Aku family in Isipingo that was overtaken by a lady, and she is letting out plots, according to an article in the Independent Online News. This family took legal action to try and get their property returned to them or to be compensated, but to no avail. How does such a situation come into existence whereby the legal owner of the land becomes powerless? And it seems like the courts also have become powerless.
Well, first and foremost, please. Number one, we have already in the city, we have already started cleaning up all the abandoned buildings, hijacked buildings. We have started from the Point Road area. If you see in the media what we have done in Point Road, we have taken steps. We took the Metro Police, we took the Department of Home Affairs, as well as the Department of Labor to these buildings. and we cleaned them out once and for all. There was a lot of foreigners were detained in that day. There was drugs were taken. The thefts have already got a lot of weapons there, drugs there from these hijacked buildings. So we cleaning up from one side. As far as the one in Singo is concerned, the Aku family are very close to me and I know them very, very well. Nijam and his brother Shiraz, I know them very well. And in fact, this has come through to my knowledge and he has spoken to me regarding this property in Singo in Khan Lane. And there's also a Muslim small family grave in between their property as well. And this is what we're going to be doing. Land that what you are talking about, where it's been hijacked by this lady, that we might be able to turn it into a, increase our cemetery there. So what happened in most cases, in fact, our landlords of those properties and men, and you know, they are at fault as well. One thing we must say, if you're owning a land, obviously you need to fence it up, put barbed wire there, put one shed there or somebody, shed this so that somebody can stay there and look after your property. And most properties, we have just left them and they didn't even worry. Now, when all these shack dwellers have gone into it, now it's becoming a problem for us to take them out. Now, there is a company called, they call themselves Red Ants. Now, these guys, they don't play. They only with shotguns. They, when you see them, you want to take cover yourself. That's how bad these guys are. So they go and they clean it up once and for all. They don't talk. They take your things and they throw it outside and you must do whatever you want. You can bring whoever you want. And because long as you have got a court order that the law makes it very, very clear that you're owning, you've got a title deed for the property, nobody else can take that property of yours. So you can pull them out. They can do whatever they want. And this is what is happening in the city at the moment. And there's one or two in Gate Street area, Ambilo area as well, that is going to be taking place in the next couple of weeks. They are starting to clear. There is a lot in Clearwood as well. There's one or two in Reservoir Hills. I was there's a list is out. Then also in Clear Estate and Sydenham. There is one or two in the Sydenham area as well. So the thing is this, the long and the short is, Malana, the city has now, we have taken a decision at council level that we are going to be cleaning up all the buildings that have been occupied illegally. And some of these landlords are going to be fined because they have not been paying rates in these properties. And some of them might just go into sale or execution because of they're owing the city a lot of money in terms of rate, water and electricity and water as well. So the issue is, it is you who owns the property, you have to do something about it. And if you don't get support, you go to the city, then the city will guide you accordingly and they will assist. Now they have come to a state, they are assisting the landlord to clean the building, providing we take them out of your building, but you need to clean it up and you need to do something about it very, very quickly. Otherwise, that building will go away to the city. That's what's going to happen.
And another issue is the issue of the council itself providing lights and water to these informal settlements, while at the same time they are coming down so hard on legal property owners for lights and water. Like yesterday, that was Friday, I heard a case of a pensioner in Spearman Road in Sydenham who is 81 years old. And she was billed 39,000 and her lights were cut off on Thursday. Yet free water and electricity is supplied to these settlements. Who sanctions the supply of free water and electricity to illegal informal settlements?
Malana, what happened in the early days, you know, the ANC wants to have control of the city as well, the control of this province. They created what you call informal settlement, or we call it jandals. They created this. Now, once you have created this thing, if you have five shacks there, within a month, you'll have another, so you add another 20 to that, it became 25, and then it carries on like that. And every space there, it has been taken over. If you take in Overport, you take in near Macro, there's a whole lot of shacks on that side. All over, you'll see this shack line. This has been created by the ANC government. Now, at that time, what happened was that once they have created this thing and they came and demanded the people who took the shacks and living in the shack, they say, you know what, we can't have, at least give us water. From water, they went and demand, they got electricity. So these guys are pulling, firstly, some of them are pulling illegal electricity from the poles, and most of them are pulling water from some of the residents as well. So the city had no option but to support them in terms of some water and electricity. So that's where our problem. As far as the 81-year-old lady is concerned, now, one, she must be a destitute. There is a provision in the council. If you apply, they can write the full debt off for you. They shouldn't have cut off the electricity or anything. But you must understand, you know, we've raised this thing previously as well. What happens is, for the last 15 months or so, we have not been reading the meters of the electricity. We have not been reading the water account. And what the city was doing is, they were doing estimates. Now, we do the estimates, and now we have employed more people to go do the proper reading. Now they're bringing the reading back to us now, and now we see what you were paying on in terms of estimates and what it is now is too different. So now they're billing you accordingly from the new reading now. So what you were paying, say you were paying 2,000 rand, now your bill has gone to 3,500 rand. So for the last 15 months, they'll be charging you the additional 2,000 rand extra. So when your account came, you was only paying 2,000 rand. Now you have to pay 28,000 rand. So that's where the problem is. Technically speaking, they shouldn't be paying that amount, because it is the negligence of the council by not having the people. Now you can't come and bill us all of a sudden to pay the 26,000. Otherwise, we'll be disconnecting you. So all the people need to get together and bring a case against the city and say, you know what, y'all have not complied in terms of the Management System Act. Y'all have not done A, B, and C. So you can't come now and claim. Okay, if you're claiming, so there must be a special concession be given that, okay, we didn't have, for 15 months, we didn't have the meter readers. So now your account is 28,000. We'll pay you over 3 years, interest-free. That must be the deal. And that's when the new debt review program has come into play. So that is the reason they have brought in the debt review program, so that we'll be able to assist the people that went into areas because of non-reading of the meters and all that. So this lady, if she comes, it's very, very simple. And in fact, in terms of that agreement, she can have 100% write-off, providing she's a pensioner, she's a widow, there would be a full write-off for her.
Inshallah, she is going to, she did go yesterday morning and met with Councillor McKenzie, and she was asked to go back on Monday, and that is what they're going to deal with on Monday, you know, to see whether they can write off the whole debt. Now, another question regarding this, in that article on the Independent Online, the political analyst Thabani Khumalo states that the chaos is created to keep politicians in power. You know, having these jondols or informal settlements, it keeps politicians in power. How can these settlements benefit politicians?
See, Malala, what happened in politics, now we 2024 election is over and done and dusted now. Now there's only by-election is taking place. We're contesting one by-election on Wednesday next week in Amslanga, and then you get any councillor resigns from the party, then, and if he's a ward councillor, then the by-election takes place, and there's quite a few by-elections all over the show in the next couple of months, you'll find. Then what happens is in the jondos or the informal settlements, the councillors, to keep their position in council, they get a lot of support from the people of the informal settlement, because they give them grocery hampers. They can promise them that, you know what, see this land where you stay. You and me now, this land will belong to you, and we're going to put up a house for you and all. Then after that, yet for 4 years, they don't worry. The first year election time coming again, they'll go again by the same people there, and then they'll say, no, you promised us the earth and you didn't give us anything. But somehow the other, because they look after those people there, and with them is, if you look after one guy, 10 other people will follow him. That's the problem. You know what? I was reading an article during the week. They say if you look after the community will look after you. So, you know, it's the same process is being used here, that if the counselor is now. That's why they bank on these informal settlement. They get the support from the government.
Now we have this issue of bin bags also came up. You know, someone was arrested at the flea market opposite the racecourse, selling bin bags that belongs to DSW, you know, that those bags that were distributed to families. Now, there are a lot of people complaining, even in our area. I think the last time we got bin bags was about 2 months ago. And there's four buildings in our premises, you know, occupied by tenants, and they only give us one bag. And as I said, the last time we got it was two months ago. What's the law regarding bin bags? How often should these families get bin bags, or the residents of the municipality? And if there are four buildings on a property like the property I live on, shouldn't they get four bin bags, or we'll say two a week?
Well, the system is very, very simple, and it's been put in place. One, those bin bags are made for the integrity municipality, and it's for householders only. So it cannot be sold or anything. So what they're doing at the moment from DSW, somebody is stealing it and is selling it in the flea market, and then the guy is being detained or is being caught. That's one. Secondly, in terms of getting your bin bags delivered to you, they do deliver to street by street, area by area. You don't get your bin bag. They normally give you 2 months or sometimes 3 months supply. And if you've got four flats in your apartment that's got four, they have to give you for the next 3 months. So in each one, there's 20 bags in it. So they must give you two or three of that. So they will have to give it to you. They leave it at your security gate or wherever it is. Where I stay in Musgrave, they come and give us. We got eight apartments there. We get our full ration there. And we got a policy. And as soon as we don't get it, we make a call. We have not received. They will deliver. So people, you're paying for all these things. This service delivery you're paying for. You must insist somebody from your apartment, just let's make a call to GSW. We haven't received our allocation for bin bags, and they will send it to you personally, and we give them what your flat number or whatever it is, or house number. They will come and deliver it to you. This is where we fail. We just leave it, and that's where they take advantage of it. You see, because now you lost your allocation. Now that allocation for your road, say maybe there's 100 houses there. 100 by 2, they're supposed to have, for that month, 200 bin bags supposed to be delivered there. Now, they didn't deliver, they only gave part delivery, and they got 50 or 80. Now, on that requisition, they will say there, Winter Avenue, 200 bags, but it will show the 200, but 200 was not delivered, there's only 100 was delivered in that area, and some got, some didn't get, they sell the other ones. That's how they do it, because the requisition is closed now, because they say that area has been, they have received the bin bag. That's what happens.
Jazakumullah khair al jaza for your valuable time and the valuable information that you shared with us. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of the time allocated. Inshallah, we will talk again next week, Saturday, the same time on this program, The Coffee Express.
Inshallah, Allah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.